What a blessing. Amen. Amen. We praise God. Are you excited, church? It's such a blessing to be here this morning. I tell you, the atmosphere is so charged right now. God is working, and I know that it's just such an anointing in this place, you know. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory for this precious moment that you're giving us here this morning, Lord. Whatever you have in store for us, we say, have your way, Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Wow, come on guys, it's so good to see you again, you know, and in a different setting, in a different environment. Well, before I go any further, I'd like to welcome all our online viewers. If you're watching us from wherever you are in the world, we want you to know that we appreciate you taking the time to join us. It's such a pleasure for us, okay, to have you. And of course, I want to welcome all our branches. How are you guys doing, you know? I would like to welcome Alive San Sere. I'd like to welcome Alive Lidak. I would like to welcome Alive Mukwase, Alive Robeja, Alive Patsima, Alive Rustenburg, and why not Alive Ghana? You know what I mean? You know, we love you guys all. It's such a blessing to have you joining us this morning. We appreciate you. And if I didn't mention the area where you're watching us, you know what? Please just tap there where you are watching from. We'd like to know where you connected with us from. Maybe you are in Joburg, maybe you are in France, maybe you are in New York, wherever you are. Just let us know, you know, just comment there and tell us what is happening in your world. Hallelujah. Well, like you guys all know, our country and our world has changed together, you know, due to the pandemic that we've been facing as a nation. Today is, I think, day three of, you know, a lockdown, you know. So I'm even asking myself, how are you guys coping? I know some of you are not used to being home, you know, all the time, especially at this hour of the morning. You're supposed to be at church, you know. So, but you know what? Now this is the church for us, you know, and we're going to enjoy it. God is going to do great things as we are here. Amen. So before I preach, I just want to remind you again, you know, this is not a small matter. It's really serious. So let's continue doing what we have to do to prevent the virus from spreading any further. By this, I mean, please, as much as you can, stay home. Don't move around unnecessarily. Stay home. And then number two, try to practice all the hygiene, you know, prevention measures that were given to us. Among others, washing your hands with soap, you know, sanitizing your hands. I bought a sanitizer for my house. By the way, you are welcome in my house. I'm at home. This is usually how I dress before I go to church, but I thought, why not dress like this? And you know, so wash your hands, you know, sanitize. When you are coughing, use your elbow. Do your best you can to really help the government, you know, help us as a church, help us, you know, limit the effect of this pandemic in our world. And as we pray, I believe in two things here. I believe that we need to watch and pray, but we also need to wash and spray. Do you understand? So it's not just watch and pray, it's also wash and spray. So those are the things that we are doing, and I want to encourage you to get in that business. Watch and pray, then watch and spray. Hallelujah. May God bless you richly. Well, this morning we're going to give to the Lord. And before we give, I just want to make you aware of a little story that I heard a couple of years ago. I heard of a lady who went to church. And this lady was, you know, kind of advanced in age. And, you know, she was at church. And right there in the middle of the service, she had a fit. She fainted. And they call an ambulance to rush her to the hospital. By the time the ambulance reached where she was, she had kind of regained consciousness. And then they took her to the vehicle. While they were taking her to the ambulance, she stopped the guys that were carrying her. She said she wanted to speak to one of the ushers in the service. And then they called one of the ushers to come to her outside. And you know what she did? She said to the usher, you know, I'm about to go to the hospital, but I don't want to go with my tithe and my offering. So I'm giving it to you. You go place it in the church. You know, that was quite an interesting story for me, that a person that was in the situation she was in could still remember that I haven't given my offering, I haven't paid my tithe, I came with it, I have to make sure I do it even if I'm going to the hospital. And it's a true story, it's something I heard about, and I thought it's the best thing for me to tell you this morning. because we are given circumstances that do not allow our normal giving to take place. But I want to tell you something. We don't tithe because it is convenient. We tithe because it is commanded. Do you understand? We don't give because it is convenient. We give because it is commanded. And when you have a command, it is your duty to find whatever you can find to make sure that you obey that command. So I want to tell you that our country has evolved so much. Today, we don't just give people money directly. We don't even do that. I mean, rarely do we even do that, you know, the way we do in the church. So people today use their cell phones to send money. They use all kinds of tools. And I'm thinking to myself, while we are in this season, why don't we do the same? Why are we going to be robbed of the blessedness of giving just because of convenience? I want to challenge you today. Many times I send money to people through my phone. And I want to challenge you today for the coming few weeks. Set your mind, nothing will steal from me the blessing of giving. And I'm not going to allow even distance to stop me. Because when I want to send money to my uncle or when I want to send money to my nephew, I don't need to go to them physically. I send it. Appearing on our screen behind me are the details you can use. We have different numbers. We are just using all those methods to ensure that, you know, whatever is going on does not stop us. And I want to just take a second and appreciate all of you who are always supporting us with your giving. You know, there is no better time to appreciate your ministry than right now. And I just want to say thank you so much. And I want to encourage all of you to continue supporting. Do not take this as an opportunity to escape. Because we still have so many things that we are doing and your giving is helping us. Even this live streaming you are seeing, there is so much that had to go into it. I don't need to take you through the details. I know you trust us. I just want to tell you that we appreciate every single thing that you guys are giving to us. Hallelujah. And now, so I'm going to give you an opportunity to take your phone, you know, go on your phone. You can send directly to the numbers that are appearing on the screen, and then we will receive it directly. As you send it, we will receive it. And then we know we are not allowed to go out every day, but we'll choose the day where our ashes can go and then collect all the givings that you have sent to us, and we will bank them. That I can assure you. Hallelujah. While we are at that, let us pray for your offering and your tithes. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that even in the type of situation we are faced with, we can still give. We can still find time to give. We can still find means to give and ways to give. Father, those of us that are choosing to give this morning through their phones, through their banking details, you know, whatever way they're going to use to give, bless them indeed. Prosper them mightily in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. So even as I'm preaching, maybe you were caught off guard. As I'm teaching, you can still do that. There is no stopping. You can just maybe screenshot the screen behind me and then have the number. And then you can, you know, send something there. Use e-wallet, use money send. There are so many ways you can, you know, send your money. And we will take good care of it. May God bless you richly. Well, this morning at our live streams, it's time for the word of the Lord. And I just want to take you through, like I sent you a message yesterday to tell you what we're going to be talking about this morning. So I'm sure you already know what the subject is. You know, you can even tell the person sitting with you by your sofa or next to you, wherever you are, tell them, let's talk about love. Let's talk about love. Let's talk about love. This morning, we're going to talk about the love of God. We're going to talk about love in general. You know, the first thing that I want to tell you is that I've realized, you know, like I said in the video I sent yesterday, I was asking myself, what should we talk about in a time like this? There are so many things that are going on, and there are so many subjects. And don't get me wrong, all of them are relevant. All of them are valid. Wherever you are hearing the word of the Lord, it might not be about love, it might be about faith, it might be about peace, it might be about anything. It's all important. So I'm not saying that the other subjects are not important, but for us at Alive Bible Church, God gave us this subject, to talk about love in a time of turmoil. Yes, please. So we're going to talk about love in the three dimensions that he has given it to us. I'm opening the first scripture from 1 Corinthians 13:13, the verse I told you about yesterday. It reads as follows: "And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." Hallelujah. The greatest, you see, there is the three things that will remain forever. Is faith, is hope, and it is love. Now, I'm happy that Corona is not included in that list. So, which means that even Corona is going to pass soon. And I'm also happy that lockdown is not included in that list. So, therefore, even the current lockdown, by God's grace, no matter how long it might last, we don't know, but it will also not last forever. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. This is going to be a good time. This is going to be a good time. But the thing that is interesting about this verse that you are seeing is that the Bible says of those three magnificent forces, faith. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. There is nothing you can do without faith. Hope. He who loses hope loses his life. But listen, without love, there is nothing that works. Nothing that works. That's why the Bible says here that the greatest is love. The greatest is love. So let's talk about the greatest force in the whole world. The greatest force in the whole world is not the dollar. The greatest force in the whole world is not even the vaccine we're going to find, or we have already found about coronavirus. And we thank God for all our doctors that are working so hard to take us in that direction. The greatest force in the whole wide world is love. And we're going to spend time for the coming 3 weeks to explore the subject of love all over again and discover how we can reconnect to love. Yes, please. Because you see, most of the subject we teach you at church, I'm talking about the building now, they are usually interactive. It means after we teach you, you need to go on Monday and do something about it. But you see, now you're going to be at home the whole time. So I need to teach you something that even when you are at home, it works. Hallelujah. Do you understand now? So even when you are at home, you can build your life. You can grow in your life. You can develop the blessedness of life. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to Matthew 22, verse 36. I'm going to read from verse 36 down to 40. The Bible says, this is a man who came to Jesus to ask him a very pertinent question. He asked him, said, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So what Jesus basically was saying was that the whole law, the whole Bible, everything in the Bible is contracted in these two commandments. If you can't do anything else and you do this, you have done all God wants you to do. Isn't that cool? Isn't that amazing? That the whole Bible can be contracted and concentrated into these two verses. Jesus says, on these two commandments hang the law and the prophet. And the Bible is simply made of what the law of Moses said and what the prophets wrote about. So I want you to see how profound this is. And now in this verse we just read, we see three things that love engages. Number one, love God. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Number two, love your neighbor. Number three, love yourself. So week one, we're focusing on loving God. Week two, we're focusing on loving your neighbor. And this is where we're going to deal with your family relationship, because most of us are at home right now. And you will quickly realize that things are not as cool as you thought they were, because now you are all together in the house 24/7, and you know you're going to need a bit of patience. You know what I'm saying? You're going to need a bit of grace. So I want to teach a bit on loving your neighbor again, so that all can go well in your house. Hallelujah. And then in the last week, I'm going to teach you on loving yourself. Loving yourself. Hallelujah. Do you realize that sometimes the most difficult person to love is yourself? So, don't miss it. This is going to be, I'm calling this the Lockdown Love Series. Lockdown Love Series. So, week one, love God. Week two, love your neighbor. Week three, love when? Love yourself. Hallelujah. So, let's start with loving God. You know, the shocking thing that I want to tell you this morning quickly is that, you know, the greatest commandment, surprisingly, is the least obeyed commandment. The greatest commandment is the least obeyed. Most people do not even think about this commandment, yet it is the greatest. And even as I'm thinking about loving God this morning, people might be like, I mean, what is it about loving God? I mean, we are struggling here. What are you talking about? Do you know that this is the most important thing God said you and I should do? Love Him. That's the greatest thing He asks us to do. And I pray that by the time I'm done this morning, you will have love for God again. And the good thing about this is that you don't need to go out to build the love of God. Right in your house. Do you understand? Right in your bedroom. Right in your house, you can develop love for God. The love of God will start springing again in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Let's look at what is going on in our world today. Like I said, many believers go to church. They even tithe. They even give. But they don't love God. Revelation chapter 2 verse 4. The Bible says, nevertheless, I have this against you. God is speaking to His people, to a church. And He says, you are doing so many great things, but there is one thing I have against you. That you have left your first love. You have left your first love, the way you used to love me before. You don't love me like that anymore. Your love has changed. And I've usually heard people say that, you know, we have fallen out of love. And many people fall out of love, including with God. I see the love of God being rekindled in your spirit. I see you finding again that passion you had once for God. That when you have a day of you want to be with Him, that when you have an opportunity to be at home for 21 days, you don't waste it in watching TV, but you invest it in spending time with your Maker. That you will refine-tune your love and you will refire that love that you once had for God. Oh my Jesus. You know, and you are asking, Pastor, you know, I can't see God, so I'm not sure when I'm loving Him and when I'm not loving Him anymore. When I was driving one of these days before there was the lockdown, before the lockdown came, you know, our company, Sun International, put in a signboard to give us four signs to look up to as far as coronavirus is concerned. Now, if you check these four signs, if these four signs are present in your life, you should consider going to see a doctor. So sometimes you might not know that something is in you, but there are signs that show you that this is what is going on. Hallelujah. And sometimes you might not also know that something has left you, but there are signs that will show you that this thing has left you. Praise God. So you might not know that maybe you were in love with God before, but you are not aware that maybe right now you are no more as much in love with Him as you were before. So can I quickly give you five signs that can reveal to you whether you are still in love or you are no more in love? Okay, let's look at a sign that show that a believer is no more loving God the way he used to. That the way you used to love Him, you don't love Him like that anymore. Sign number one, when a believer has become religious. When you become religious, a believer that becomes religious is no more in love with God. Do you know why? Because religion is simply going around doing rituals. It's all about trying to please God and impress God, but really it's not from your heart. Religion is simply trying to tick the boxes. Religion is doing what is the formalities. You know, the formalities. You just go through the formalities. Now I'm asking myself this morning, you watching me this morning, are you doing what you are doing just because it's formalities? Is it from your heart? Matthew 15 verse 8, the Bible says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So you can be honoring God. You can be honoring God even with your tithes. You can be doing a lot of things that are actually good, but your heart has departed from God. And that is the first sign, is that you are just into ticking boxes. Oh, I didn't pray enough. Oh, I didn't. But you are not really in love with Him. May that love be rekindled. Sign number two, when a believer starts enjoying the world, that believer has lost the love of God. When you start enjoying the world, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be in the world. The Bible says that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. So when a believer starts enjoying the world and missing the world, missing what is going on around, believers that right now are at home and they are bored, they are not excited at all because they are no more in tune with the things that they do every week. Those believers, the love of God has reduced in their hearts. Safely to say that maybe the love of God is no more in their hearts. I want to make you read 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. The Bible says, do not love the world, nor the things which it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. So you cannot love the world and love God at the same time. Do you understand? So those of us that are really, really deep into the things of the world right now, that you know every, in fact, you even know more about coronavirus than you know about your Bible. You know everything about coronavirus, and it's good to know those things, don't get me wrong. But how much of your Father's word do you know? That's the question. You find believers that have mastered the world to the tip of their fingers, but they are totally disconnected as far as religious matters are concerned, as far as Christianity is concerned, as far as the love of God is concerned. In fact, you have to drag them to church. You have to drag them to the things of God. They always have an excuse. When you have a church in the building, they tell you that, oh, I'm working, I have this. Now that they are at home, the excuse is, I don't have data. I mean, look at yourself. You are now coming with a new excuse that you don't have data. There will always be an excuse. May the love of God be rekindled in your heart today. May you fine-tune yourself again in the presence of the Lord. Sign number three, when a believer starts sounding like the world. When you start sounding like the world. In other words, when somebody hear you talk, they cannot pick any godliness. They cannot pick any divinity in you. The Bible says that we have divine nature in us. When people can't pick up godliness in you anymore, like you are just like a person from the world. You see, you are now sounding more like them. And listen, I'm not against you. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. I just want you to realize that when you love God, it shows. And when you stop loving God, it also shows. When you start sounding like the world, you complain like the world, you are not positive, you are afraid like the world, you have joined them. And there is an interesting scripture, you know, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 8 verse 20. The Bible says, these are the Israelites, they went to Samuel to say to him, we want to be like the nations around us. Our king will judge us and lead us into battle. God wanted these people to have him as their king. But they didn't want that. They went to Samuel and told Samuel, we want to have a king like the nations. The motivation for them having a king was not because they needed a king, but because every nation around them had a king. So they wanted to look like the nations around them. And many believers today are doing things just because everybody around them is doing those things. So they begin to look like the world, sound like the world, behave like the world, manifest everything that the world manifests, even talk like the world. May that never be your story in the name of Jesus. You see, Romans 12 verse 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. don't copy those things. There are good things to copy, but there are certain behavior and belief systems that if you allow them to get into you, they will totally destroy your life. Hallelujah. May God bless us. Hallelujah. Sign number four, when a believer loses interest in the things of God. In other words, your mind is no more preoccupied with the things of God, the church, you know, the work of God. You are more preoccupied with the things of the world. When that is happening to you, you must understand that another love has entered your heart. Another love has entered your heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." A spirit makes you aware of things. So a spirit of God will make you aware of the things of God. And the spirit of the world, guess what? It will make you aware of the things of the world. And you will start chasing the things of the world. You will want a bigger screen. You will want a big, like, you will be out for the things of the world. When your whole being is consumed by the things of the world, it means that the spirit of the world is at work in your life. And I bind that spirit right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I decree and declare that you shall not be controlled by the spirit of the world. You will be led by the spirit of God. Hallelujah. And the last sign that a believer has gone off, a believer does not love God anymore. Remember, we are working on the verse that says that, you know, "I have this against you. You have forsaken your first love." The last sign to know if the love of God is still in your heart, when a believer starts opposing and criticizing God's servants. When a believer starts criticizing God's servants. When a believer starts rebelling against God's servant, that believer does not have the love of God in his heart anymore. And you are saying, "Pastor, how do you know that?" Let me prove it to you. John chapter 5 verse 42 and 43. The Bible says, "But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me." Hallelujah. You see, Jesus was telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees that, "I know you. You do not have the love of God in you." And how do I know that you don't have the love of God in you? It's because you are unable to receive a servant of God. You are unable to welcome a servant of God. When you see a child of God that is criticizing, that is opposing a servant of God, check his love level. Check the love of God in his life. We are not supposed to attack servants of God. We are supposed to pray for them. Hallelujah. And I'm not saying that they are perfect, but Jesus here is showing us something, that once the love of God is no more in your heart, you will actually start resisting servants of God. So that is also a sign. If you are constantly in conflict with your pastor, if you are constantly in conflict with your leader, if you are constantly fighting your leader, maybe, just maybe, the love of God is no more in your heart. But the good news is, this morning, that love is going to be restored in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I see the Spirit of God ministering to somebody here. I see the Spirit of God restoring the love of God in your heart and helping you fine-tune yourself in His presence. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at quickly four signs that you love God. Because I don't just want to show you the bad side, I want to show you the good side. Because in the midst of all of this, I know there are many people who love the Lord. Even the fact that you are watching me this morning shows that you love God. What do God lovers look like? Number one, God lovers love His Word. If you love God, you will love the Word of God. That is the first thing that you know. When you start loving God, you will love His Word. You will want to be in His Word. John 14 verse 21 says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." So not everybody loves God. You see that? Certain people love God and other people do not love Him. Praise God. "And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Hallelujah. God is saying, Jesus here says that, this is how I know that somebody loves me: when they have my commandments in their hearts. They have them and they keep them. In other words, they obey my word. Their lives revolves around my word. They don't just do what they want. They follow me. Many people go to church, but they don't obey God. When you obey Jesus, that's love. You show him that you love him. When you value his word, what you are doing this morning, taking time to listen to the word of God. That's how Jesus sees love. For Jesus, that's love. When you set aside time during these 21 days to have devotions, to pray, to seek him. And you know you can do this in your bedroom. You can open your Bible. Some of you, ever since the lockdown, and even before the lockdown began, you've never opened the Bible. And you are at home 24/7. Do you see that the love of God has begun to disappear from your heart? Do you realize that you are no more in love the way you used to? In this season, God is looking for his true lovers. Because when that love is restored, great things start happening. Amen. The second sign that you love God is that God lovers work hard for God. God lovers don't hold back. A true God lover is a hard worker for God. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10 says, "For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him. How hard you have worked for him. And how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do." A true God lover is a hard worker. He works hard, not just for money, but for the kingdom. Many believers, when they think church is you just come and sit and enjoy. But that is not so. A true lover, love is hard work, if I can tell you the truth. Real love is hard work. It takes a lot of hard work when you love a person. And when you love God, you will work hard for him. You will work very hard for him. And I'm always excited when people tell me you're working too hard. And when I check, I say that they're saying that I'm working too hard for God. It's because I love God. God has sent his son. Jesus worked so hard to save my soul. Why should I withhold anything from loving him? Why should I hold back my money? Why should I hold back my time? Why should I hold back my talent when he gave his all for me? Why? People want you to sit down and relax. We will not sit down. We will not relax. We will work hard. Because the Bible says that that is how you are showing your love for him. And I remember Paul saying that I have worked harder. I have worked harder. May you work hard for God. The third sign of a God lover, God lovers love souls. God lovers love souls. They love what God loves. John 21 verse 15. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you. Take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time, he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked him the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Let me tell you something. It's one thing to say, "Lord, I love you." It's another thing to demonstrate the love. The Bible says God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for the ungodly. So love must be demonstrated, not just articulated. So Jesus was telling Peter here, "Listen, if you really mean business, you say you love me the way you say you love me, I will see it in the way you are working for souls." Lambs are newborn Christians, baby Christians. When you call them, when you visit them, when you invite them to church, when you call them during this lockdown and check that they are still growing in God, when you send them books to read, when you send them videos and you help them set up their Facebook so they can be in contact with their shepherd, when you start doing those things, you are showing the love of God. You are showing the love of God. When you pray for them in the night, you wake up in the night and you pray for souls. You ask God to strengthen them. You know, Paul says, "My little children, for whom I traveled again, till Christ be formed in your heart. You see, a lockdown does not stop the work of God. You cannot lock down the work of God. You cannot lock down the Holy Spirit. I want to challenge you to release the Spirit of God that is within you through the power of prayer. Begin to intercede for the nations. If we can't talk to them, we can pray for them. If we can't go around for outreaches, we can pray for the people. And prayer does a greater job than you can ever imagine. Hallelujah. A lover of God is the lover of souls. And a soul is a soul. And a soul matters to God. Hallelujah. The last sign of a God lover. And I'm hoping you are enjoying this. The very last one. A God lover always wins, no matter the circumstances. What a blessing. You want to see a person that loves God? Check for the person who never loses. Look around for that person who always comes out of any problem you throw him into. A God lover is never in the pit forever. No matter what you throw at him, he manages to survive. Why? Romans 8:28. That is our last verse. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purposes. God does not make all things to work together for everybody. And I'm sure you have seen many believers that went through problems and the problems took them down. Oh yes. But a God lover will survive any storm. A God lover will come out of any pit. A God lover will survive any lockdown. You can lock him down, but you cannot lock down the love of God in his heart. He will pull out of it. He will come out stronger than the time you lock him in. Hallelujah. When you come out of these 21 days of lockdown, or whatever period that will be, may the love of God increase even greater in your spirit. May you come out to do greater things for God. I want to challenge you right now in your house. Begin to pray and say to the Lord, Father, by the Holy Ghost, restore love in my spirit. Restore love in my heart. I have lost your love. I have lost the love I had for you. Oh Jesus, I pray right now for the viewers. I pray right now for the people that are watching me. I ask Lord Jesus for all our brothers and our sisters, even including myself, that may you restore your love in our hearts. The Bible says the love of God has been shed in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Father, may you restore that love. May that love be shed abroad right now. As I'm praying, God is touching you. As I'm praying, God is touching you. As I'm praying, God is touching you. Lift your hands and cry to the Father. He will restore that love. He placed it there the first time. He can do it again. Kola mashaka deka fadavalages. Brente che akatavaluma. Breka chefa kodavadales. Mikadove, mikadove, shakadove. Thank you, Jesus. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you for restoring your love right now in my life. Father, thank you for restoring your love in the whole Alaba Bible Church ministry. May you find people who love you in this church. May you find men and women who are in love with you. Men and women who are desperate for you. Men and women who are using the time they have at home to sky higher heights in the love of God. The Bible says that it is higher than the heavens, so you can rise higher in the love of God. It is deeper than the deepest depth, so you can go deeper in the love of God. And it is wider than the space around you, so you can even go wider in the love of God. May God restore his love in your heart today. May you fine-tune your heart with his heart. May the Holy Ghost touch you right now. And any bitterness you had against God, because I know many people that are, you know, kind of feeling that God has allowed this to befall on us. Maybe God is angry with us. I just want you to know something. He is not that kind of God. Yes, it is true that he punishes sins, but he punished all the sins of the world in Jesus. Jesus paid the ultimate price. Right now, maybe you are doubting that God is you. I want you to know one thing today. God loves you. How do I know this? The Bible tells me so. And I want to challenge you right where you are sitting. Say this after me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, God loves me. I believe that. that God loves me. No matter what is going on in my life, God loves me. And I choose to love God. My love for God is being restored. Do you know why I'm challenging you to love God? The Bible says that we love Him because He first loved us. Once you have experienced the love of God, it is easy for you to love Him back. And right now, I want you to experience that love wherever you are watching from your living room, from your bedroom, wherever you are watching me from. I want you to experience the love of God. All you need to do right now is to open your heart. I'm going to pray a simple prayer with you and lead you into that love, the love of God. I know somebody is watching me somewhere on this earth and they are asking themselves, am I among the people God loves? He said, resounding yes. Wherever you are, I want you to close your eyes and to lift your hands to the heavens and repeat these simple words after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. My brother, if you have prayed that prayer, Jesus has entered your heart. And I just want to pray for you. Father, I pray for all the viewers across the nations of the world, wherever they are watching. I pray that let the Spirit do a work in their hearts right now. Let the Holy Ghost change the atmosphere of your heart right now. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you are also watching and you are already a believer, but you can sense a conviction in your heart, just maybe the love of God has been stolen. My first love has been stolen. Right now, I want to pray with you. Won't you lift your two hands to the heaven? Those of you that want to have the love of God being restored to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will restore that love now in the heart of my brother, in the heart of my sister, wherever they are watching from. I pray that you will visit their heart again, Lord, that they will be on fire for you again, on fire for Jesus, on fire for the word, on fire for the word. They will love God. They will love souls. Oh God, our world needs real believers. The Bible says that the world awaits the manifestation of the sons of God, not the children of God, the sons of God. We need the sons of God to manifest the glory of God in us. Oh Father, I pray for my brother and my sister right now. Restore your love in their heart. Let the love of God be shed abroad by the Holy Ghost in every heart today. Thank you, Father. And that the fruit of the Spirit, which starts also among them, is love. May that also start being activated in your heart. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.